te Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 2 entitled Contents of the Gita Summarized, and the final text in this chapter, text number 72. Esa brahmi stiti partha.
Esa brahmi stiti partha.
Nainam prapya vimuyati.
Nainam prapya vimuyati.
Stitvasyam ante kalepi.
Stitvasyam ante kalepi.
Sitvasyam ante kalepi.
Sitvasyam ante kalepi.
Brahma nirvanam richati.
Brahma nirvanam richati.
Esha brahmi stiti partha.
Esha brahmi stiti partha.
Nainam prapya vimuyati.
Nainam prapya vimuyati.
Stitvasyam antakalepi.
Stitvasyam antakalepi.
Brahma nirvanam richati.
Brahma nirvanam richati.
Esha brahmi stiti partha.
Esha brahmi stiti partha.
Nainam prapya vimuhyati.
Nainam prapya vimuhyati.
Stitvasyam antakalepi.
Stitvasyam antakalepi.
Brahma nirvanam richati.
Brahma nirvanam richati.
Prabhus.
Esha brahmi stiti partha.
Esha brahmi stiti partha.
Nainam prapya vimuhyati.
Nainam prapya vimuhyati.
Situation. Partha,
Partha.
O son of Prita.
Na,
never.
Never.
Enam,
this.
Prapya,
achieving.
Vimuyati.
One is bewildered.
Stitva,
being situated.
Asyam, in this. Antakale.
Antakale.
At the end of life.
Api.
Api.
Also.
Brahma nirvanam.
Brahma nirvanam.
the spiritual kingdom of God.
The spiritual kingdom of God.
Ricchati.
Ricchati.
One attains.
One
attains. Purport, at least translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. That is the way of spiritual and godly life, after attaining which a man is not bewildered. If one is thus situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. Purport. One can attain Krishna consciousness or divine life at once within a second, or one may not attain such a state of life even after millions of births. It is only a matter of understanding and accepting the fact. Katvanga Maharaj attained the state of life just a few minutes before his death, by surrendering unto Krishna. Nirvana means ending the process of materialistic life. According to Buddhist philosophy, there is only void after the completion of this material life. But Bhagavad Gita teaches differently. Actual life begins after the completion of this material life. For the gross materialist, it is sufficient to know that one has to end this materialistic way of life. But for persons who are spiritually advanced, there is another life after this materialistic life. Before ending this life, if one fortunately becomes Krishna conscious, he at once attains the stage of Brahma, Nirvana. There is no difference between the kingdom of God and the devotional service of the Lord, since both of them are on the absolute plane. To be engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord is to have attained the spiritual kingdom. In the material world, there are activities of sense gratification, whereas in the spiritual world, the activities of Krishna consciousness. Attainment of Krishna consciousness, even during this life, is immediate attainment of Brahman. And one who is situated in Krishna consciousness has certainly already entered into the kingdom of God. Brahman is just the opposite of matter. Therefore, Brahmi sthiti means not on the platform of material activities. Devotional service of the Lord is accepted in the Bhagavad Gita as the liberated stage. Sa gunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Therefore, brahma sthiti is liberation from material bondage. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has summarized this second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita as being the contents for the whole text. In the Bhagavad Gita, the subject matter is the Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga. In the second chapter, Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga have been clearly discussed, and a glimpse of Bhakti Yoga has also been given as the contents for the complete text. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of its contents. Omagyana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tismai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya mano vistam stapitam jena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam tadati svapagantikam vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanabhyo vaishnavabhyo namo namaha jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadha Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada makes a statement that's quite amazing in the purport. He says there is no difference between the kingdom of God and the devotional service of the Lord. And then Srila Prabhupada goes on to state in the purport that when one attains to the stage or level of Krishna consciousness, even while in this body, that means during this life, Prabhupada uses the word, during this life, in this particular body, one immediately attains the stage of Brahman. And when one is situated in Krishna consciousness, he is certainly already, Prabhupada says, enter the kingdom of God. So this is quite an interesting few sentences gleaned from the purport, coming directly from Srila Prabhupada. Now, generally speaking, one may be, you could say in one sense, may have heard from different sources and so forth that, you know, one can aspire to become a gopi or a coward boy, or even for that matter a blade of grass, which is the aspiration of Uddhava, you know, and so forth. One can aspire like that to become a particular personality in the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. Generally, sometimes devotees may even speak like that. One can aspire to become like that. But this type of understanding, or for whatever it's worth, a misunderstanding, is different from what Srila Prabhupada says. It's quite different. In the material world, we take on the form of a material body, both gross and subtle. And as a result of taking on the form of a gross or subtle body, we have a tendency to act in the misidentification, which is the bodily conception of life. And as a result of the misidentification of the bodily conception of life, our activities are prone to be on the bodily conception of life. Like that. It's prone. We're inclined and prone by wearing the dress of the material body, both gross and subtle. So when we transition from the misidentification of the bodily conception of life onto the platform of who we actually are, the spirit soul, we do not take on another body to function as the spirit soul. We do not take on another body to function as the spirit soul. We just make use of the bad bargain that we have taken, which means the material body, both gross and subtle. So in the same way, just as we do not take on another facility to engage in devotional service, when we attain the stage which is called Brahma Nirvana here, like that, there's no need to take on another facility of a type of body in the spiritual world to engage in devotional service. There's no need. Because the spirit soul itself is the form of devotional service. Is it like sinking in? Prabhupada emphatically says this in a purport in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The form of the spirit soul is the form of engagement in devotional service. We do not take on a female form of a gopi or a male form of a cowherd boy as another type of facility over and above yourself as the spirit soul to engage in devotional service. You do not do that. You are, as the spirit soul, the form of devotional service. Prabhupada makes this so clear here in this particular purport. It's quite amazing. Right there. I'll just read some of this again. Prabhupada says that for the gross materialist, it is sufficient to know that one has to end this materialistic way of life. But for persons who are spiritually advanced, there is another life after this materialistic life. Before ending this life, if one fortunately becomes Krishna conscious, he at once attains the stage of Brahma Nirvana. Then he goes on to say this particularly important line: there is no difference between the kingdom of God and the devotional service of the Lord. Since both of them are on this absolute plane, to be engaged in transcendental loving service of the Lord is to have attained the spiritual kingdom. Amazing. To be engaged in the transcendental service means you are already back to Godhead. You are already in the spiritual world. And that indicates the functionality or the constitutional position of the spirit soul. And the constitutional position of the spirit soul is to be conscious of Krishna. And the best way to be conscious of Krishna is the functionality of the active state of the spirit soul is engagement in devotional service. And that constitutes the form of the spirit soul. Whereas in the material world, for non-devotees, what constitutes their form is the material body and materialistic activities that activates the material body into action. Whereas the spirit soul is constituted of the nature of performance of devotional service, and that is the form of devotional service. So therefore it is important not to deny anyone, not to take away anyone's service, devotional service. It is important because that's who they are. They are composed of the nature of devotional service. That is the spirit soul. That's who they are. So if one's service is taken away, you are sort of telling the person you know more spirit soul, which is not a very nice thing to do, is to take away someone's devotional service. But you can change devotional service in a variegated way. That's a little different. You may take away one service and offer another service. That's a little different. That's fine. Like that. That's fine. When devotees during Srila Prabhupada's time used to leave a devotional service. In other words, you can say in a very compassionate way, you know, they take a temporary leave of absence from devotional service and go back to engaging in activities in the bodily conception of life. They take a temporary leave of absence like that. And practically in almost all cases, There may be some exceptions here and there, but practically in almost all cases, when the devotees came back to Srila Prabhupada after taking a temporary leave or absence from devotional service, when they came back to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada welcomed them graciously. And in one instance, particularly, I was told that Srila Prabhupada told the devotee, "Welcome back home." You know, that type of thing. In other words, if you on your own volition and by your own desire, you leave devotional service, nobody has taken it away from you. And then you come back to devotional service because you're coming back to engage in your original form of the spirit soul, which means to engage in devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada never, I never heard any devotee tell me that Srila Prabhupada never really asked the wayward disciple who went away and came back. He never really asked, "So what did you do? You know, you went out there, what did you do?" Srila Prabhupada never really asked anybody that. And he just welcomed them back. Just welcomed them back, in that sense. Because Srila Prabhupada has that full, not realization, he is full in himself that, you know, this is their only eternal natural nature, is to engage in devotional service, and they have come. Who wants to know about the activities of the material world? They haven't done anyway, but they have come back to devotional service. So devotional service makes one a recipient of compassion. And when you are open to receive compassion, then one can administer through compassion one's consciousness in receiving others through compassion also. Like that. And that is His divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Of course, that compassion also, you know, enters into the hearts of His sincere and serious followers. And they and similarly accept people to come back to devotional service. In that sense. Because that's all we are composed of. We are composed of the nature of engagement in devotional service. And that's the spiritual form of the spirit soul. Like that. Now, somebody may question, so how is it that, you know, we say she is a gopi and he is a coward boy? So this he and she comes into some effect like that. See? But in the sense of its depth, they don't really use the masculine and feminine or the gender separation in the spiritual world. There's no gender separate there. Because everyone is composed of the nature of engagement of devotional service. So there's no question of gender separation. If there's some sense of gender separation, it is simply to enhance ras, is to enhance loving exchanges. That's all. So in the absolute sense, the relativity of he or she, male or female, boy or girl, man or woman, that's relative. It's the relativity of the material world. But we have to use such language, especially in the English-speaking language, so that we can relate to others based on philosophy. Based on philosophy. But on the platform of rasa tattva itself, on the platform of relationships with Krishna, the philosophy falls away of male and female, happiness and distress, heat and cold, young and old. These are dualities of the material world. It exists only in the material world. It does not really exist in its originality spiritually because there's no question of differentiation of material bodies. And then, there's only a question of a variety of irrigatedness of ras in the form of devotional service, in the form of different forms of devotional service. So a gopi is a form of devotional service. A coward boy is a form of devotional service. And a cow is a form of devotional service. Even a blade of grass is a form of devotional service. And this is nicely given to us by Srila Prabhupada right here in this particular purport also. You know, we don't need to aspire to become as one devotee did. As one devotee did during Srila Prabhupada's time. You know, he happened to be at Radhakund and he receives some mantra through a so-called process of Siddha Pranali that you are a peacock in the spiritual world. And then he came back to the Ramanreti area and he got his own little bhajan kutir somewhere in those days, like that. And he has to practice the mantra, at the same time he has to practice the sound of the peacock. And what's that sound? Someone can make? Yes, yes. Yes, louder, louder. Yes. So that became his mantra. That actually became, it sounds funny, but it's true, and that's what people are up to. And that became his mantra. And when one of his friends went and knocked at the door, and they were hearing, is he living with a peacock? Inside, he's living with a peacock inside. But he wasn't, he was making that sound. So immediately when the door was open, being knocked upon by his friend, you know, he immediately changed his situation, he took his bead bag and he started chanting Hare Krishna. And then he opened the door. So his friend asked him, is there a peacock in your room? He said, no, no peacock. Because the mantra is supposed to be confidential. It sounds absurd. It sounds stupid. It sounds silly. You give up the Hare Krishna Maha mantra to make the sound of a peacock and having a human body. Right. So therefore the form of devotional service is not something that you aspire for. The form of devotional service is you, the spirit soul, in relation to the Supreme Spirit Soul. That's all. Okay. And it comes in a very authorized way through Guru Parampara, the supreme succession. Whatever service is given to you and whatever service you give others, you accept and you engage in devotional service. And naturally, that's your form. To engage in devotional service in that way. So we should stick rigidly to the principles and the practicalities of the disciplic succession. And in that way, simply by engaging in devotional service, you know, one is already situated spiritually in the kingdom of God. It's quite amazing, that's what Prabhupada says here. You want to come inside? You can come inside if you like. There is some space. If... if you like to sit on the side, you're welcome. Come on the seats in between the lady, if you want to sit there. So it is important for us to be loyal and faithful and chaste to the terms of the disciplic succession, Guru Parampara, and engage in devotional service. And it's amazing how much of devotional service Srila Prabhupada has given us in the form of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. There's so much. Even lifetimes upon lifetimes of devotions. You know, even if you take birth many, many lifetimes in ISKCON, you still won't be able to exhaust it because it is eternal and anandam buddhivadanam. It is ever on the increase. It is ever on the increase. All right, we can leave more time for questions. We have time.
There's a microphone there.
At this point that when one is situated in Krishna consciousness, then he is situated in the kingdom of God when he is engaged in devotional service. So this does this refer to...
That's what Prabhupada says. Yeah.
So does this refer to a particular level in Krishna consciousness, or from the beginning itself a devotee is situated in the kingdom of God?
What is the reason that you are concerned about a particular level? So answer that question. I need more support from your question, so then I can understand it better.
Because it says Esha Brahmi Stiti, so Brahmi Stiti is referring to particular stage in Krishna consciousness, or right from the beginning, one is like beginning from faith itself, or is that Brahmi Stiti?
Prabhupada gives the example of Katvanga Maharaj in the purport. Katvanga Maharaj was fully focused just moments before the time of leaving. So it is not governed by past, present or future. It is not governed by time. It is governed by consciousness. Does that answer your question?
Is it like Nishtha? Which level it should be called as Brahmi Sthiti?
If you want to make spiritual progress, you will come to a stage in your consciousness where you feel all others are making progress but I am not making progress. You understand? So when you feel that I am not making any progress but all others are making progress, by their making progress they're keeping me in their association and they're still merciful to me by not kicking me out. And someday I will begin to become a devotee. So on which level is that? See? So by the moment you feel, oh, I am on the level of Nista, what's next? What is next? Then I'm going to get tasted. And then I'll be in Bhava. Ashakti and then Bhava. So the moment you feel that way, that you are climbing the ladder of success in Krishna consciousness, you can only come to a particular stage of bhava within this material body, and you cannot go any further. When you cannot go any further, the only way you can only go is down. Dangerous. Very dangerous. But the moment one feels, not artificially, the moment one feels that everyone else is more Krishna conscious than me, you can only go up. Is that all right? Other questions?
You said this he and she is in the material world, and spiritual world there is no such he and she. I would like to know this demigods and the apsaras, what are they?
They are the bodily conception of life. So there is male and female. Unfortunately for them, they don't have two good friends. Two best friends they don't have. Old age and disease are not there. Fortunately, we have old age and disease. They are our best friends. Why? Why? Because when there's old age and disease, you will naturally give up eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Unfortunately for them, they do not have those best friends. Somehow we are placed on the earthly planet and old age and disease is there.
What?
The more the body is inconvenienced, the closer you can become to your identity as spirit soul. The less the body is inconvenienced, the closer you become to the identity that I am the body. As it's the opposite. And old age and disease are powerful friends to remind us we are not the body. And we naturally, without any effort, we will give up eating, sleeping, mating and defending. You know, in Braja Dham, in Vrindavan Dham, the Brijbas language for a boy and a girl is Lala and Lali. You understand? Hey Lala, hey Lali. It's a Brijbas language. This is not in Hindu culture. They don't call Lala and Lali in Hinduism. In the Hindu language, Hindi language, no. If you look at these two words very carefully, it does not signify male and female. It signifies affection. It brings out affection. And when it brings out affection, which is the sneharas, when it brings out the affection, affection immediately kills the bodily conception of life. It kills it. We're talking about on the spiritual platform. Like that. So therefore sometimes Krishna's pastimes are known as Nara Lila. Nara means it's like human-like. The word is human-like. But that's used in the English language for us to relate to. But it is not human-like. It is. It is not human. But it is human. It is as if it's like that. But it's not like that. It's not like that. Like for example, I'll give you an interesting experience. For many periods of times and for several years in different times, I lived here in Vrindavan. And the first time I lived here in Vrindavan was 1989, 1990, 1991. That means, many years ago. How many years ago was that? 22 years ago. And I joined about 30 years ago. So I was relatively new in the movement, about say 8 years in the movement, and I came to live in Vrindavan. So it was very wonderful actually at that time here. There was no MVT. There was no shops at all in the frontier. Nothing. Like that. The parrots even used to come into the temple room. Parrots in pairs, they used to fly into the temple room. Now they don't come anymore. And your alarm clock is the sound of the peacocks in the morning. Like that. See? So I used to live here at that time for about 2 years almost. Then again I lived again for a number of years, and again I served here as the president of this place, co-president, you know, about 13, 14 years ago. But I'm talking about the early days. There was no Bisleri water. And you take shower with cold water even in the peak winter. We used to take our drinking water from the sweet water well in our Goshala. And every few days you take 2 5-liter cans and come back like that. Yeah. So I used to do some service in the Gurukul, and I was an ashram teacher. At that time, Kurma Rupa Prabhu, our care for cows, Mahant, he was an ashram teacher, but he went to renew his visa in Malaysia, but he couldn't get back, so they found me. I was staying here in the Gurukul. So I was an ashram teacher. So there was one nice boy. He was the eldest in the Gurukul, but he was short in stature. His name is Ramesh. I don't know if somebody may remember. He's from Delhi. He was the eldest boy in the Gurukul. Probably about 17 then, or 17 years of age. Now he's probably well over 40 or something. So he learned the Brijbhasa language. And every Thursdays I used to take the boys to some remote village, you know, the foothills of Vashana, or somewhere, go somewhere. And you see the natural way of how the Brijbhasis live. Very natural. Like that. And as soon as I left Vrindavan after about 2 years or so, and I went out, I could feel the agitation of the mind and senses. But in those 2 years when I used to go every Thursday out to the Brijbhasa's homes and, you know, eat their roti, you know what's a roti? It's a thick chapati, very tasty, from the cow dung patty fire, you know, like that. Just associating with these actual Brijbhasis. Everyone is Brijbhasi, but you get the commercial ones too, right? But everyone is, in a sense, you know, like that. But the actual Brijbhasi, you could sense, you do not have to worry about the bodily conception of life. In other words, we are trying in sadhana bhakti through the transitional stage from the material misidentification of the body into the spiritual nature of sadhana bhakti. We are trying to become free from the bodily conception of life. But then I used to feel that disassociating with these people, whether it's Lala or Lali, or whether it's an elderly cowherd lady or a young girl, you do not feel the body. In fact, you forgot about the bodily conception. You completely forgot. You're in a natural state of the spirit soul. I don't know if I'm explaining myself correctly, but that's how I felt. I don't know if I can actually explain the feeling also. It's hard. Just by associating with these people, you naturally feel you're situated spiritually. Naturally. And you know, in that sense, practically, from a philosophical understanding, these type of Brijbhasi people, you know, in the remote villages, they don't even have a passport. They don't have an ID document. They don't even know who the Prime Minister of India is. They don't have electricity. They live in mud homes. But just associating with them, you could feel, yes, this is, you know, this is the Golok atmosphere. You can feel that. You can feel that in that sense. So, you know, they are not really, you know, they don't know any philosophy. You know, they only know Thakurji. You know, the famous voice is Thakurji. They only know that, no philosophy. And highly hospitable, highly cultured, highly aristocratic in the simplicity. Very highly aristocratic in the simplicity. Hard to find. But you go in the remote villages, you can find. But you can actually feel. You don't even consider he or she. You don't consider this, you know, duality. You don't consider it at all. It's a completely free. They're completely free from it. Like that. They don't even know it exists. You know, in the material world. They don't even know it exists in the material world. Like that. So I just thought I'll share this experience about this male and female aspect. In that sense. They act in such a way that you never feel. And I didn't even consider it. Only when I left Braj, oh, the mind and senses are being agitated. But when at that time, you never feel it. So they act in such a way, it doesn't bring up the bodily conception of life. It brings up the platform of the spirit soul and devotional service. It brings it up all the time. So that is the kingdom of God. Is that all right?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Somebody had their hand up here? He's senior to you. Give it to him first. Any of the Vaishnavis have any questions?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Maharaj. This is Madhavendra Puridas for giving such a beautiful class, very precise also. The idea is that you were speaking about the Guru that we say that Guru, he cuts the roots of material desires. So how we can put it in a more sweet way, that he dovetails into...
The Guru doesn't cut the root of material desires, that is the negative activity. The Guru doesn't engage in the negative activity of cutting the roots of material desires, no. The Guru engages you in the positive activity of devotional service, and incidentally, by the way, this is there. You know, you cut off incidentally by it. So the positive engagement in devotional service is most important. And the positive engagement in devotional service begins with hearing and chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Is it all right?
Thank you very much.
Okay.
So as it is said that one who comes to Krishna consciousness, he is elevated and he is already in the kingdom of God. So how we can understand that, like one who enter into the kingdom of God, he will not return back to this world. But those who are there here in this material world, still they are in Krishna consciousness, and they are still in their condition. But how we can understand this, they are elevated, they are in the kingdom of God, like.
Yes. I often say this in various talks that I give, like that. A non-devotee doesn't know that he or she is in Maya. Agree? They're in the innocence of their ignorance. Sometimes we say darkness of them, but to say it compassionately, they're in the innocence of the ignorance. They don't know. They don't know better. Yeah. So non-devotee does not know that he or she is in Maya. But when you become Krishna conscious, the first thing you'll come to know that is that you are in Maya. And if you come to understand that I am in Maya, that means you are fully Krishna conscious. See? Because the non-devotee does not know that they're in Maya. Only a devotee knows that he or she is in Maya. And then the realization comes. I should not get into being influenced by Maya further. And then the realization comes to a greater or lesser extent, depends on the individual, that I am prone, I am inclined, I have the proclivity to actually fall back there into, I am inclined. So long as you are aware of this inclination to go back to the material nature, you are Krishna conscious. You are Krishna conscious. So that's a very high level realization for a devotee. And then actually one devotee told Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, sometimes I'm in Maya. Srila Prabhupada retorted back, don't talk nonsense, you're always in Maya. In other words, we have to feel that we are inclined to be going back to the material world. And we won't go back. We're inclined in that sense. Is that all right? Mm-hmm. You have any questions here? When I balance it so that we can give the she's also an arm. He and she. You have good. Anyone? Okay.
Thank you for nice class. As you mentioned, the spirit soul is a form of devotional service. And we also, like reading the introduction, Prabhupada says a soul, a person can have five kinds of relationship with Krishna. So how these two are connected?
So my question to you would be, how can you have a relationship with Krishna in the present? In the present. Not in the future, not in the past, in the present.
As a servant.
As a servant. So then you tell Krishna, you look at him, Krishna, I'm your servant. And that's what you'll do? Say lovely.
We serve him. It's act so on that relationship.
You act, right? So the activity of us, of being a servant, is what?
Devotion.
To engage in?
Devotion.
And devotional service. Yes. That's most important. Okay. I'll just say one more thing that reminds me in relation to your question. In the formative stages of engaging in devotional service, which is called sadhana bhakti, or devotional service in practice, we may have a tendency to choose to do a particular service that we like. That tendency is there. Because you are being engaged according to your guna and karma. According to your nature, it will determine a particular activity or karma. Like that. To give you a simple example. A devotee, if you ask him to sweep the temple room, he'll say, and look, you know, I don't feel like doing that. So what do you like to do? Oh, I like to paint for Krishna. In other words, we choose a particular type of service that we like to do at the expense of not doing a service that is meant to be done but you don't like to do. Getting the point? Like that. So our duty is not to engage in a particular type of service after you pass the formative stages of devotional service. You know, you have to come to another level in its mature stage of devotional service. And the mature stage of devotional service means that I am not interested in doing a particular service. All I'm interested in is I want to serve. I want to serve. And I gleaned this out from Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said he only asked his Guru Maharaj one question. Who knows that famous question? How can I, or how may I? How can I serve you? He didn't ask for a particular service. And that's a very advanced stage of consciousness. And that advanced stage of consciousness comes through affection for the spiritual master. When you have particular affection that's deep for somebody, whatever they tell you to do, you will do. Because you only want to serve. You're not interested in a particular type of service only. You will serve. You only want to serve out of affection for that person. And whatever they tell you to do, you will do. See? So in that sense, of that advanced stage of consciousness, all service becomes absolute. All service becomes on the absolute platform. Right there. There may be a differentiation, a variegation of service, but you do not see the difference. All you see is that I want to serve, not I want to engage in this particular service. So the consciousness changes, I want to serve. And you'll serve somebody that you have a great feeling and affection and attachment for. And whatever that person tells you, you will do. Whether it means sweeping the floor or cleaning the bathrooms, or cooking, anything, or going to preach, anything, whatever they tell you, you will do. Right. And Srila Prabhupada, you know, we can't really fathom Srila Prabhupada. Right. He brought his disciples to that point. He brought his disciples to that point. In other words, if one god brother tells another god brother, if he's the temple president, he tells his god brother, look, temple room needs to be cleaned. Well, you know, I'll clean it, but I'm not looking forward to that. But if Prabhupada told him, hey, you should clean the temple. Yes, Prabhupada, I'll clean. You understand the point? So Prabhupada brought his disciples to that point, that whatever he told them to do, they will do. So we have to come to that point in our relationship with each other. In other words, you have so much of affection for this person, so much of love and so much of attachment. When we have that, then there's no need for cooperation. There's no need for... When you have that, automatically you will do. You just want to serve, irrespective of whatever the service is given to you. It's a very high level, very high level stage of Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada brought practically all his disciples to that level. Just one letter he will write and they will dive right into it. The contents of the letter, and just distribute books or do whatever Prabhupada says. Right? Because they knew Prabhupada loved them very much. Prabhupada really cared for them. Right? Is that alright? So we went a little over time. Something? Microphone here?
I just want to know that when we ourselves know that we are falling for the materialistic world, for the Maya, how do we stop ourselves? I mean, probably our mind, for not, you know, getting into the Maya. At times, it, you know, gets really difficult to choose between the two. it's just how do we basically tear ourselves and not fall for it.
The first thing one has to do is that one has to be accountable and allow oneself to be monitored. If you are accountable, then you allow yourself to be monitored for spiritual progress. And that requires three authorities. Three authorities that give you the support system and protection and care. It doesn't go in order of importance, the authorities, but I have to give it in some order anyway. So there is the spiritual authority, there is the ashram authority, and there is the service authority. And sometimes one person can be two of these authorities. Like the one person can be the ashram and service authority, or another person can be the spiritual and ashram authority. But three is more, better. The more lotus feet you have on your head, the better it is. In that sense, like that. So when you know that you're allowing yourself to be accountable, then you automatically allow yourself to be monitored. Not policing. No, not in that sense. This is done out of affection, out of a support system and care, and offering you protection. And offering you protection. Like that. So one has to have that. I mentioned three types of authorities, but sometimes the one person can be all three, but better to be more than one, you know, over you, in that sense, like that. So if you do not have that, try to develop relationships to get that. It's called gurun in plural. Shiksha and Diksha gurus in plural. Sometimes we get the modern system that has appeared in ISKCON, which is nice. Like you get counselee. You get that. Or sometimes you may go to a particular place from whichever location you come from, and you go to like a Namahata program or a Bhakti Vriksha program, and then the Bhakti Vriksha leader or Namahata, automatically you look up to the person to give you some spiritual direction, like that, something to that effect. So remember, ashram authority, service authority, spiritual authority, these three must be in one's life. Then it's very unlikely you will slip into those other activities like that. During Srila Prabhupada's time and after, and I joined at that time after, and even up to today, we only know that to be a devotee you have to live in temples and in temple ashrams. That's how we join. So if you want to be a devotee during Srila Prabhupada's time and in the early 80s when I joined, you have to move into the temple and live in an ashram. In a Brahmacharini ashram, Brahmachari ashram, Grihastha ashram at that time. Now we get Vanaprastha ashram, Sannyas ashram. That. So you have to live in an ashram. So when you live in an ashram in the temple, automatically you have an ashram authority. And when you live in the temple, automatically you have a service authority. And when you live in the temple, automatically you are under the care and protection of the spiritual authorities, visiting sannyasis and things like that. You know, even the temple president can be a spiritual authority, like that. So automatically is there. But then, you know, Krishna consciousness spread in a different direction in the late 80s, early 90s. Called congregation. And there's this authority thing about allowing oneself to be accountable, to be monitored, gets lost. Very few congregation, devotees in the movement have these three. Very few. So that means if you're not chanting your rounds for 6 months, nobody will know. See? If you're breaking some principles and be quiet, nobody will know. So you're even more prone to be inclined to go to material activities and then put on your Sunday best with your Sunday sari or dhoti or kurta and come on your beanbag and chant at the Sunday program. But nobody knows what you did during the week. So therefore there's the line of Guru Parampara, disciplic succession, and their representatives to take care of us all the time. So it is important to allow oneself to be accountable, and therefore one can be monitored. Most important. So therefore that's what it means. The word disciple comes from the word discipline, and the word discipline lends itself to the word disciplic succession. So one has to be disciplined. I know, discipline through care, through affection and through protection. Discipline out of love for the person. Okay. We'll stop now. Is that alright? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anand.